堂听 class.com。
Now we will begin part A with the first conversation. Number one.
Professor Parker, maybe you better find another actor to play this role. The lines are so long, sometimes I just completely forget them.
Look, Mike, it's still a long time before the first show, and I don't expect you to know all the lines yet. Just keep practicing, and I'm sure you'll get them.
What does the woman suggest the man do?Number two.
Come on, Kate. The sun is shining, the flowers are blooming. Maybe you're missing the point of life.
Maybe you're missing the point of this chemistry study group.
What does the woman mean? Number three.
Could you give me a ride to the engineering building?
I would, but I'm late for an appointment on the other side of town.
What does the man mean? Number four.
Excuse me, Professor. Since class is canceled on Thursday, when are we going to have the quiz?
It'll be postponed until next week's class.
What does the man mean? Number five.
I can't believe I still have this pain in my back. This medicine the doctor gave me was supposed to make me feel better by now.
Maybe you should start taking it three times a day, like you were told.
What does the man suggest the woman do?Number six.
I'm not sure what I'm in the mood for, pizza or a hamburger. They're both really good here.
Well, the movie starts in an hour, and we still have to get there and park, so just make a decision.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number seven.
The basketball team is in the playoffs, and I don't have a ticket. I guess I'll just watch it on TV. Do you want to come over?
Actually, I have a ticket, but I'm not feeling well. You can have it for what it cost me.
What does the woman mean? Number eight.
Don't you ever go home? Every time I see you, you're here in the library, poring over your books.
What do you mean? I thought this was home.
What can be inferred about the woman? Number nine.
Doctor, I haven't been able to get to sleep lately, and I'm too tired to concentrate during classes.
Well, you know, spending too much time indoors with all that artificial lighting can do that to you. Your body loses track of whether it's day or night.
What does the doctor imply the man should do? Number 10.
I'm having trouble drawing the model's right arm. It's supposed to look like he's pointing at me.
To get the perspective you want, you need to use what we call foreshortening. Here, give me your pencil.
What will the woman probably do next? Number 11.
Could I borrow a 20 to tide me over till payday next Thursday?
You're in luck. I just cashed a check.
What will the woman probably do next? Number 12.
Jane, didn't you get my messages? I left 2 on your answering machine.
Huh? Oh, sorry, Tom. I've been meaning to get back in touch with you. It just slipped my mind.
What does the woman mean? Number 13.
I'm sorry, sir, but you're allowed only one piece of luggage on the plane. You'll have to check one of your suitcases at the baggage counter.
Actually, one of these belongs to the woman up ahead. I'm just giving her a hand.
What does the man mean? Number 14.
We need to drive to the city tonight, but the doctor said this medicine might make me drowsy.
In that case, I'd better drive.
What does the man think the woman should do? Number 15.
Look at all the pollution going into the air from those factories. Do you think they'll ever get that under control?
With the new laws and social awareness, we'll turn things around.
What does the woman predict will happen? Number 16.
Aren't you cold? Why aren't you wearing a jacket?
Oh, I overslept this morning, so I ran out of the house without listening to the forecast.
What does the man mean? Number 17.
Professor Jones, last night when I was putting the finishing touches on my paper, that electrical storm completely wiped out my computer files. Do you think I could have another day to retype it?
I'm sorry, Stephen. I'm leaving for a conference tomorrow, and I'll be away 2 weeks. I suppose you could send it to me there.
What will the professor probably allow the student to do? Number 18.
Do you know if Mary's been by the office this morning?
I just got here myself, so I'm not the one to ask.
What does the man mean? Number 19.
I really enjoyed that TV special about whales last night. Did you get home in time to see it?
Well, yes. But I wish I could have stayed awake long enough to see the whole thing.
What does the woman mean? Number 20.
Take 2 of these pills 3 times a day, and you shouldn't take them on an empty stomach.
What if I don't have an appetite?
What does the man imply? Go on to the next page. Number 21.
I feel horrible. Deborah was furious that I lost her notes. Do you think I should apologize again?
If I were you, I'd let her cool off for a few days before I talked to her.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 22.
I'm having trouble fitting into my jeans. Looks like I'll have to get some new ones.
Well, you wouldn't have to do that if you just cut down on what you eat.
What does the woman imply the man should do? Number 23.
Lisa's out of the office again, another business meeting. She told me her flight was leaving late last night. I don't see how she does it.
Me either. I could never keep up with that kind of pace.
What can be inferred from the conversation? Number 24.
My parents are taking me to a really fancy restaurant tonight, so I'm wearing this new cologne. I got a sample of it from a magazine. Can you smell it?
From across the room. It's not exactly subtle, is it?
What does the woman mean? Number 25.
Have you started researching your paper on computer programming languages of the future?
To tell you the truth, I've been putting it off.
What does the man mean? Number 26.
I'm taking this great course, The Psychology of Language. It's so interesting. You're a psych major. You should sign up for it.
Actually, I tried to do that, but they told me you need to have taken Linguistics 101 first.
What can be inferred about the man? Number 27.
We've got to be in Philadelphia by Saturday. We could take the train, but we'll have to change a few times.
A direct flight would be a lot less complicated, and maybe even cheaper.
What does the woman mean? Number 28.
Someone said that there was a really good documentary on television last night about bald eagles. I wish I'd seen it, since that's what we're studying in my ornithology class.
I'm sorry. If I'd known you were interested in that sort of thing, I'd have told you when it was going to be on.
What does the woman imply? Number 29.
I really enjoyed that piece you just played on the piano. I bet you get a lot of requests for it.
People just can't get enough of it.
What does the man mean? Number 30.
How clumsy of me, and all over your white tablecloth.
Hey, it'll come right out with soap and water.
What does the woman mean? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 35. Listen to part of a conversation between two friends.
How'd you like yesterday's astronomy class?
It was interesting, but the point she was trying to make seemed a little far-fetched.
Oh, that new theory that ocean water came from comets?
Yeah. Do you remember what it's based on?
Some recent satellite photos, I think. Apparently, space satellites recently detected thousands of small comets colliding with Earth's outer atmosphere, almost 40,000 per day.
Okay, so they collide with the atmosphere. So that's what created the water?
It's not that the collision created water. Comets contain water. They're made up mostly of cosmic dust and water. When they collide with the atmosphere, they break up, and the water they contain rains down to Earth. Ocean water came from that rain.
Oh, well, this morning I asked my geology professor about that. He said that most geologists don't accept it.
Why not?
Well, their research indicates that most of the water molecules from the comets would have burned up as they fell through the atmosphere. Enough rain couldn't have reached Earth to have filled up the oceans.
Well, do the geologists have an alternative theory to explain where ocean water came from?
Yeah. He said the more traditional view is that ocean water came from volcanoes.
From volcanoes?
Right. See, volcanic fumes are mostly steam, and they claim it was volcanic steam that created the oceans, not rain from comets.
Number 31. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Number 32. What did recent photographs from a space satellite indicate? Number 33. According to the new theory, where did ocean water come from? Number 34. What group disagrees with the new theory described in the conversation? Number 35. What aspect of volcanoes does the woman mention? Questions 36 through 39. Listen to a conversation about a problem.
Hi, Sarah. What's up?
Oh, hi. I just got out of history class. I had to give a presentation.
How'd it go?
Terribly. I'm sure I made a fool of myself.
Why? Weren't you prepared?
No, it's not that. I just get so embarrassed and nervous whenever I have to speak in front of a group of people. I stand up and my face gets red and then I get even more nervous because I know everyone can see me blushing.
It's not so bad to blush.
But it happens all the time. If the professor asks a question and I know the answer, I blush like crazy if he calls on me. Doesn't that ever happen to you?
No, not really. Maybe you should just try to forget about the people. Look at something else in the room, like the exit sign.
I guess I could try that, but I doubt it'd help.
You know, we talked about this in psychology class. Blushing, even though it's involuntary, is more or less a learned behavior.
What do you mean?
Well, children hardly ever blush at all. And among adults, supposedly women blush more than men.
I wonder why.
I don't know, but I had a friend in high school, Brian Smith. It was really easy to make him blush. He'd turn red whenever a waitress would ask him for his order.
I'm not that bad. Well, I've got to get going for my next class. I'll talk to you later.
Number 36. What was the woman's problem? Number 37. Why might looking at the exit sign help the woman? Number 38. What does the man say about children? Number 39. Why does the man mention his friend Brian? This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Now read along as the directions for Part C are being read. Part C. Directions. In this part of the test, you will hear several short talks. After each talk, you will hear some questions. The talks and the questions will not be repeated. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 40 through 43. Listen to part of a talk given to dormitory residents by a nurse.
I'm glad to see so many of you here. We've become really alarmed over at the health center by the number of students we're seeing who are experiencing hearing loss. First, I want to go over some basics about hearing. Then we can take a look at our school environment and see if we can figure out some ways to protect hearing. The leading cause of preventable hearing loss is excessive noise. Too much moderate noise for a long time, or some types of intense noise for even a short time, can damage hearing. Loudness is measured in units called decibels. 1 decibel is the lowest sound that the average person can hear. Sounds up to 80 decibels generally aren't harmful. That's noise like traffic on a busy street. But anything louder than 80 decibels, especially with continual exposure, may eventually hurt your hearing. Once you're up to around 140 decibels, that's like a jet plane taking off, then you might even feel pain in your ears. And pain's a sure sign that your hearing's at risk. Even 1 exposure to a really loud noise at close range can cause hearing loss. So what you need to do is limit your exposure to harmful levels. If you'll pass along this handout, we can take a look at the decibel level of some common campus sounds. Notice how loud those horns are that people take to football games. They're really dangerous if blown right behind you. Now, let's try to generate a list of damaging noises.
Number 40. Why is the nurse speaking to the students? Number 41. What has been happening recently at the health center? Number 42. What is on the handout the nurse gives the students? Number 43. What does the nurse mention as a source of dangerous noise that students are exposed to? Questions 44 through 47. Listen to part of a talk in a United States literature class.
Continuing our survey of the 19th century, let's take a look now at Harriet Beecher Stowe. Now, Stowe is best known for her novel Uncle Tom's Cabin, a book that details the harshness of plantation life in the South. The book was extremely popular in the United States as well as in other countries. Ironically, though, for all the attention given to Uncle Tom's Cabin, it is far from Stowe's best work. She did write one other novel about life in the South, but much of her best work has nothing to do with the South at all. In fact, Stowe's best writing is about village life in the New England states in the 19th century. In recording the customs of the villages she wrote about, Stowe claimed that her purpose was to reflect the images as realistically as possible. She usually succeeded, for her settings are often described accurately and in detail. In this sense, she was an important forerunner to the realistic movement that became popular later in the 19th century. She was one of the first writers to use local dialect for her characters when they spoke, and she did this a full 30 years before Mark Twain popularized the use of local dialect. It makes sense that Stowe would write about New England life since she was born in Connecticut. As a young woman there, she worked as a teacher. The teaching job helped lead to her first published work, a geography book for children. Later, when she was married, her writing helped to support her family financially. Throughout her life, she wrote poems, travel books, biographical sketches, and children's books, as well as novels for adults.
Number 44. What is the main purpose of the talk? Number 45. What does the professor say about the novel Uncle Tom's Cabin? Number 46. Why does the speaker mention Mark Twain? Number 47.
What was Stowe's first published work? Questions 48 through 50. Listen to part of a talk about word origins.
Where did the term piggy bank come from? Today, the simple piggy bank is seen everywhere as the symbol of saving and frugality, for putting away funds for a rainy day or building a nest egg for life's sudden money needs, such as paying college expenses, buying a home, or financing retirement. But why a pig? Dogs bury bones for a rainy day. Why not a dog-shaped bank for coins? Squirrels are well-known hoarders, too, and we talk about squirreling away valuables. Why not a bank in the shape of a squirrel? Well, nevertheless, for 300 years, children's banks have been imitation pigs with slots in the back. Charles Pinotti, the author of Extraordinary Origins of Everyday Things, tells how the symbol came about by coincidence. According to Pinotti, during the Middle Ages, mined metal was scarce and expensive. Therefore, it was rarely used in the manufacture of household utensils. A type of orange clay known as pig, spelled P-Y-G-G, was more abundant and economical throughout Western Europe. It was used in making dishes, cups, pots, and jars, and so these earthenware items were referred to as pig. Frugal people saved cash in kitchen pots and jars. Although a pig jar was not originally shaped like a pig, the name persisted. However, by the 18th century, pig, P-Y-G-G, jar, became pig, P-I-G, jar, or pig bank. Potters had simply begun to cast the bank in the shape of its common name. In the United States, the popular piggy bank has always been a symbol of saving money. Number 48. What does the speaker mainly discuss? Number 49. What was first made with the clay the speaker mentions? Number 50. Why did craftspeople of the Middle Ages use the clay?